Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
Triple M Rocks the Footy.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Hey, everybody, love to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. I listened to that long list of players, Wendell Saylor, and it's a little like State of Origin. We have been State of Origin affected. Peter Sterling, no, he's not here. Ryan Girdler, no, he's not here. James Hooper, not here yet. But Wendell Saylor is
of
here.
Of course. Mate, I'd just do anything to be here with you, Tony.
I know.
This is the reason that I do this, because I wanted a bit of Tone and Del show.
I know, this is what I like. Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to the 5 minutes before James Hooper arrives.
Yes.
I should just point out that, look, Gerds, we are thinking of you. Gerds is crook. I'm worried about excuse.
Man flu, or is he?
He's called up and he's gone, I'm crook. That kind of covers everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Really. I went straight to research, Wendell, as you'd expect. The top five excuses that an employer will accept.
Yeah.
From an employee who says, you know, they're not going to turn up for work. Flu is the number one, and it's hard to argue with flu.
Yeah, of course, that's season.
Back pain, and you and I play through back pain every week.
Of course.
I'm here.
And I'll carry this show, so I know what about back pain, yes.
Absolutely. An injury through an accident is okay as well. Elective surgery. Isn't that a bit hard line?
Yeah. Nah.
Sorry, I can't be in today. I'm having elective surgery.
Yeah, look,
I've been waiting on the list for a long time. Yeah. It's finally come through, so I'm going off. And I'm
I won't go with that, yeah. But hopefully Gerds are right, because it is a big week coming up, and you know, he's obviously primed himself for, I think he'll probably work tomorrow, no doubt, Sunday.
We wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I think he will. I think he'll find something extra tomorrow, but sometimes you just need a little bit. Remember last year, I think I got Tara to call up. That's the worst thing I've ever done. Yeah, mate. That's one thing you can't do.
Now that it's just you and me, it's just you and me, so nobody's going to bag you about this. Can this just be an honesty session?
Sure.
You and me. Okay. One, why didn't you do it yourself? B, talk me through it. You went to Tara and said, look, I can't get there today. I need you to ring up the boys and tell them.
Yeah, I was in bed, and then I just, you know, I'd been on the road a little bit, and I've been a little bit sort of run down, but I probably could have picked myself up being the person that I am.
Yeah.
And I just said, Tara, can you ring the bosses and just tell them that I'm crook? So, as a good wife, though, she did. But I made sure never to do that again, because you boys outed me straight away.
I'm just hearing through the cans now that Gerds does have conjunctivitis. It's highly contagious.
Oh, yes, yes.
And food poisoning. She's not sure which one to go with. We get so much to get through. I've lost a little bit of respect for Manny Pacquiao. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot of NRL this afternoon. He has decided, he's kind of through pressure from him and his camp, to get the judging, the scores basically reviewed. I think it's going to be five independent, anonymous judges who have a look at that fight with Jeff Horn that Jeff Horn won last week, where you were, Wendell.
Yep.
The result still stands. I stress that initially, that result, Jeff Horn is the welterweight champion of the world, but they're going to talk about whether the numbers stacked up. You were there. What did you make of it all?
Look, I think it was more Manny Pacquiao's camp. I think Manny Pacquiao underestimated Jeff Horn. I mean, I think we all did. I mean, I did. I certainly did. I just didn't think that he could go 12 rounds with Manny Pacquiao. And even in the ninth round, when the ref said to him, you've got to show me something. Mate, that's massive, because he was gone 30 more seconds in that ninth round and he was all over. I thought that Manny Pacquiao did enough to win. But I think Jeff Horn came home strong. And I spoke to Joseph Parker after the fight. And Joseph Parker, the New Zealand champion, he said through his eyes, and he knows a bit more than me, he thought that Horn, it was the right result.
There's a lot of rubbish coming out. I mean, Teddy Atlas, and I know that Jeff Horn's people have said if there's going to be a rematch, if it's going to be in Australia, they don't want Teddy Atlas involved. He's a commentator for ESPN who is so outspoken, not just in commentary and saying, you know, the guy tried hard, you don't win a fight by trying hard. And then he came out and incredibly rudely interviewed Jeff Horn, and his first question was, I didn't think you won, I thought this guy won.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
That shows no respect to the person who was the champion of the world standing there before you. So,
And I agree. And he found something special. And I've got to say, that atmosphere at Suncorp Stadium.
What was it like?
It was electric. I've got a video I'll show you later on. It was unbelievable. But the town was a buzz. You know, Melbourne Storm Broncos game. From then on, as soon as you stepped into Brisbane, everyone was talking about the fight, and the way that Jeff Horn carries himself, he's a real humble sort of Australian. And guys like Bernard Tomic and that and Nick Kyrgios, they should have a look at that's what an Australian champion, a humble champion is.
Absolutely. I want to talk about Bernard Tomic a little bit later on, that notion of not giving your all, Ryan Girdler style. Were you sitting on the white plastic seats from Kmart down near?
No. I was in a box because look, for me, you know, Tone, I'm a big sweater, so I didn't want to be sitting ringside and sweating up a treat, and I don't like to get too far for sort of my liquids. So it was really good in the corporate box there. So with 12 of my mates, I really enjoyed
it. So relatable.
And yeah, actually, you know who I did meet? I've got to say, Amber Heard.
Uh-huh.
Mate, absolutely stunning in person. So...
Sorry, I'm just trying to join the dots, how we got from, you know, the...
In the corporate areas, you get to see a lot of people, and I've got to say, no Johnny Depp, no Pistol and Boo, but Amber was looking a treat.
Pistol and Boo, for those who don't know, being the dogs that were illegally allowed into this country.
Yes.
So much to get through. James Hooper will arrive very shortly. He's come straight from the New South Wales camp at Kingscliff, so we'll get the lowdown on what is going on inside there. We'll also chat to one of the Blues. Kevy Walters is going to join us as well later in the show. Nathan Brown, who's a little bit under siege as the Knights coach. We'll chat with him as well. We're going to talk to Brad Haddin about the situation with Australian cricket. As I said, Bernard Tomic is a topic. Yes, indeed. Ryan Girdler is suffering a little food poisoning, Hoops. It's Wendell Taylor there for you.
And he's got these, he hates the germs.
He's a germaphobe. When did he get hit with the food poisoning?
Oh, well, yesterday, obviously. He was last night.
He worked last night?
Yeah, he worked last night. Yeah. So, I don't know. Girds, 133353, if you'd like to call in at any point, and we'd love to catch up, see what you're doing, see what you're eating today.
It's a beautiful day not to be in the studio, but...
Isn't it? I think he's already got tomorrow off as well.
So towering.
Yeah, absolutely. We mentioned at the top of the show, Jeff Horn, I know that you're a huge boxing man.
Yeah, I was listening to you guys at the start, and obviously, what a phenomenal story. One of the best stories in the history of Australian sport. Tone, the way that I see it, ranks with all of the absolute great upsets, be it in boxing or be it in other sports as well, in terms of what Jeff Horn was able to achieve. But I was a bit curious, Wendell. Yeah. I seem to remember last week, you were all over the Pac-Man.
Yeah,
mate, Did you not declare the Pac-Man was going to win?
I still, mate, I'm a boxing fan. I still thought the Pac-Man would win. And, mate, nothing changed my mind. I mean, I think he had him in the ninth round there. So, mate, I'll stick by. I didn't think Jeff Horn could do that, but that's the Queenslander in him. Like, digging deep, obviously proud Aussie. Only at Suncorp Stadium could Jeff Horn do that.
Well, speaking of the Queenslander in him, I've been told by a couple of people this week that after that victory, you'd had a couple of cold drinks and you were ringing people and yelling out, Queenslander!
Oh, mate, that's a lie, mate. I don't need to. Mate, I was in a corporate box there. I was behaving myself.
You and Amber Heard.
Yep. Alan Langer was there, choppy closer around. And that wasn't me. But look.
That's a strong squad.
No, it was a strong squad. But, mate, I must admit, I love me boxing. And, mate, I was surprised. I thought in the ninth round, I thought he was gone. I thought it's going to be all over here. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, when we saw the referee go over and give him that warning, I was starting to think,
you got to show me something.
He looked shaky. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you got to show me something or it's going to be all over.
He had to put him down, though, Manny Pacquiao, didn't he? He had to put him down.
I think you see that he didn't, I don't think he trained his heart. I don't think he respected him enough. You know?
No,
I think,
definitely.
You know, look at the press conferences and that. But I don't reckon he's whinging about it. I reckon it's his camp that's whinging.
Oh, yeah. He has got back. He agreed. Yeah. He agreed that he backed the idea of there being this new judging to get the scores. Obviously, that, as we said, the belt still stands. The win still stands.
There'll be a rematch.
Well, that was already written into the contract there. All right, James Hooper, just in terms of catch up on what is going on, have you had a look at the injury concerns? What's going on? Well, you've been watching Boyd Cordner. I know he's been doing a lot of running on a machine where he kind of doesn't have to bear so much weight.
So it's the older G machine, Tone, that the astronauts use to run on. It's at the Titans headquarters. So he's been traveling up there with some of the New South Wales staff every day and just doing some running on it. They put the speed up to about 20 kilometres an hour and he just does routine running on it where he might go for a couple of minutes and he might have a 30-second break. But he's been running at 95% of his body weight. So initially he was only at 70, then he stepped it up to 80. Over the last 48 hours, it's been 95. So, look, they're very confident. He's very confident. I spoke to him last night for Fox League, their Friday night footy coverage, and Boyd said that at this point in the preparations, he believes that he will take his place in the side.
And Tyson Frizzell?
Oh, Tyson will be out there for sure, Iron Mike, how good's his nickname. And, Tyson.
Who gave him that nickname?
Oh, it was somebody in camp, I think it might have been Blocker Roach, actually.
He's entitled. I love Big Blocker.
100%. Yeah, he spoke at a luncheon yesterday, actually, at the Coogeon Leagues Club, and absolutely killed it. Brought the house down.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was first up. Gary Belcher hosted it, and Blocker just stole the show. He's a very, very funny man and a great ambassador for the game. But yeah, on
has he done contact, Tyson?
No, not yet. No. So I and Mike, when they've had their closed training sessions over the course of the last couple of days, they didn't train yesterday, but Thursday night they did have a closed session. We were able to watch bits and pieces of it because as much as it's closed and they got Hessian around the fence, if you stick your head over the top like in the old days when you're a little kid,
yeah,
you can still have a look. So Iron Mike had the fluoro vest on, and yeah, he doesn't do hard contact. Obviously it's rib cartilage and also a new injury related to his ribs, but further around in his back as well, so he's going to have painkilling injections. I don't think your club, the Dragons, were overly happy, Tone, about the fact that he's going back into that arena and that that's the game plan. But
they played him just a couple of days after the last Origin, when he clearly came off busted.
Well,
I mean, and they're desperate for points, and I get it all. I understand it, but it's hard to lay blame at the foot of the Blues when they've played him as well.
I can see it from both sides. Yeah. I can totally see it from both sides. But look, I think Tyson will play, no question whatsoever. He's a hell of a tough bloke and so important on that right edge for the Blues.
Hey, just quick one. I know you love your boxing.
Yeah.
There was another good story there too. I don't think it was televised. Young Hooper.
Yes, Damien. Yeah.
Mate.
Upset.
I was at a function yesterday in Toowoomba Fitzies. Mate, he spoke about he was at the crossroads of his career because I think he did a little bit of time and stuff. He made some bad choices. But he talked about he went down a bad road and he wanted to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And to beat that bloke,
nine
straight wins. So well done to him and well done to the people who are backing him.
Sensational story.
The coach of the Newcastle Knights, Mr. Nathan Brown. G'day, Browning.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Very well, thank you. Caves Beach in Newcastle a couple of weekends ago. Gee, it was a terrific sight to watch. My mother, who is an absolute avid Newcastle Knights fan, my father, who sits on a couch which had the St. George blanket on it and the St. George coasters, watching that game together, which went backwards and forwards, up and down. Sadly, for you guys, my mum ended up on the losing side. It's been that kind of year, been a bit of a roller coaster, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've had lots of close losses, Tony. Apart from last week, it was the first time in 18 months where the boys, we've started favourites. Generally, we're sort of huge underdogs, and we've led a lot of games at half time, but haven't been quite capable or good enough, whether it be by a bit of bad luck or bad execution, or not quite good enough at this stage of the development to be able to put sides away. But they've certainly improved a lot, which is pleasing.
Brownie, I imagine it's been a tough week. Obviously, you've only had the two wins for the year, but then to have your chairman come out and make those comments that he did, I thought they were just ill-timed.
Yeah, not ideal. Heaps of these things happen, I suppose, in rugby league and sport. But we've got a plan in place, and myself and the board, when we first started 18 months ago, our first 2 years was about holding our nerve and playing all the young kids and clearing up our salary cap so then we could enter the marketplace. And we've all held our nerve. We've all done what's best for the long-term future of the club. And along the way, we have some hurdles. And last week was, as I said, was our first game in 18 months where we started favourites. And we certainly didn't handle the expectation very well.
Hey, Hoops. Brownie, it's Del, mate. Just wondering about Dane Gagai. Mate, just seeing a player of that quality, he's done a lot of hard work in and around Newcastle. He's one of the favourites there. Just must be disappointing to see him go to South, especially when you've got a couple of really good young kids coming through now.
Yeah, it's disappointing, Del, because we've sort of had a plan in place and Gag was always a part of that plan, and he's a great guy and he competes so well, as all the Origin players do. And we've got a lot of good signings coming in. We're a fair way down the track with a fair number more of really good signings, and Gags was always a part of that plan. But when you do rebuild, you do cop the odd sort of setback on the way, and the opportunity, I think, for Gags to play with Greg Inglis, being a young Aboriginal boy, to play with one of the greatest players of the Indigenous community ever, and Greg, and obviously Souths have got a fairly sort of developed roster. There was numbers of things that attracted Gags there, but look, he's still competing great for us, and whilst we've lost him now, the game's funny now, Dylan, at this way these contracts work. He's there for 4 years, but I'm sure it'll continue to play, and you just never know what might happen down the track.
Yeah, 100%, mate.
Just on that rebuild you touched on there, Brownie, you are starting to head in the right direction, though. You've got Aidan Guerra coming next season. Sean Kenny-Dowell has recently joined the club, yet to play a game for you. You've also got the young gun, Kalyn Ponga, coming from the Cowboys. Like, you're starting to put all the right foundations in place, aren't you? That's why it must be frustrating when you hear what the chairman had to say earlier in the week.
Yeah, look, this time last year, we were, like, when I first got the job, yeah, we got a wooden spoon. We'd lost a lot of experienced players. And not for last year, but for this year, we're way over the salary cap without signing a player. So we had no choice but to basically just put a heap of kids in there and let a lot of people go and basically do what the bottom sides in the AFL do, which GWS did many years ago when they first started, or like the Brisbane Lions are doing now, with just lots of kids. And we couldn't really add players because we didn't have any cap room, you know, because players are on back-end deals and all sorts of stuff, which is, I knew that before I took the job, and that's why I've had no issue with what we've gone through. I was quite aware of it, and the board was quite aware of it, and we've all sort of been strong together with what we needed to do. And as you just said, right, we've got Sean Kenny-Dowell, we've got Aidan Guerra, who are both playing in a side who currently sit in the top four, so you know, they straight away make our squad a lot stronger. Kalyn Ponga, I think everyone would agree, what a wonderful signing he's going to be for the club. And then moving forward, we're fairly confident of landing another three or four players in the next week that, again, are coming from very strong clubs that are very good players. And we've seen the development of all the younger players, how much better they are this year compared to last year. And I'm very confident that all them young kids will grow again next year. And, our side next year is going to take far new shape through the addition of a lot more good players, one, but also the development of the younger kids just on what they've done this year. I think everyone can see that growth.
Branny, you spent obviously many years with the Dragons, where fans are intense, and it's the history of that club. You went to England. You find yourself in Newcastle, another footy town. Are you enjoying being there?
Oh, look, Newcastle's a great town, and as far as bringing a family up, and it's a great spot. You know, if you've got a family, young family, the beaches are beautiful, the people are great. Now, a lot of the people actually really understand their footy in Newcastle. You get lots of fans around the world in all sports who are real emotional and have a real emotional attachment to just winning and losing, where most of the Newcastle people actually understand rugby league and they understand what it takes to actually develop younger players, because it was only sort of 30 years ago, I suppose, that Newcastle came into the comp. So they're actually quite aware of what sort of task we've got ahead of us and what we're trying to do. So they're really well-educated people in the football front, and they're great people. And it's got the best of Cronulla and the best of Yamba, you know, where I grew up as a kid. So it really, really is a good place to live.
Brandy, I know that you're a man's man. I was lucky enough to be coached by and be mates by you. You gave me an opportunity to come back in 2008. A lot of people thought Wayne Bennett did, but just looking with Jared Mullen, I mean, that's a tough one, I suppose, for you. And I've spoken to Jared, and he's a decent young man. But also Sean Kenny-Dowell. Mate, I know you would have done your research a bit, and he's going to be good for the club. He's, you signed him there.
Yeah, look, Del, I think, you know yourself, Del, there's, in this world we live in today, there's mistakes get made by people, and I'm certainly not a coach that likes to go and sign a million players on second chances, but when you come back to St George, we were quite confident with all the people we'd spoke to about you, Del, that you'd do the right thing by the club, which you did. And in Sean Kenny-Dowell's case, he's a player who, when you do your background checks on him, he's a good guy, and we're really confident that he won't hurt our brand, and he'll certainly add to the younger players, which is great. And in the Jared situation, it's unfortunate what happened there, and it's from a pure roster point of view this year, I got no doubt if Jared and Rory Cosh-Jason played just to give us that little bit of experience that we would have won another four or five games. But it's probably had, not only has an effect on the team and that, but it's obviously had a really big effect on Jared. And I've always said that people shouldn't judge Jared on his mistake. He's a decent human being who did a lot of good things away from the field with fans. And you always hope that people remember the people for the good, because in Australia, sometimes I find that we tend to look for the downside to what someone may have done rather than all the positive things. And I think, again, in all the three people, yourself and Jared and Sean, there's so many more good qualities that people tend to bring. And if you're not repeat offenders, I think they should be given a second chance.
All right, mate. And finally, of course, tomorrow you head to Belmore. It's a special game for the Bulldogs. Josh Reynolds, they're saying goodbye to him at that park that is so special to Canterbury.
Yeah, look, he's you know, someone said to me on the week, how do you think Josh Reynolds is going to play? And I said, the exact same way he plays every single game he's played for Canterbury. He'll be out there and he'll compete like all hell. You know, he's been a great, great competitor. And I think Canterbury, when he's not there, I think they'll then realise what they don't have. You know, he's not what you'd call your classic 5'8", like a Darren Lockyer, a Brad Fittler type player, but he's been a great, great competitor, you know, and there's going to be obviously plenty of emotion around that for the Canterbury boys. But from our point of view, you know, we got caught up a little bit last week in expectation and emotion, and that certainly didn't help us prepare very well to play. And, you know, so we need to just sort of control each individual, what they can do to get their process right to put them in a good game.
All right, no pressure, but for my mother's sake, get a win. Nathan Brown, always great to talk to you, mate.
Good on you, legend.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Newcastle Knights coach Nathan Brown. One of the good
he's
blokes.
He's one of the good blokes, for
yeah.
sure.
Just, yeah, mate, even that, who's that chairman or whatever, mate? Like, Matty Gidley.
Brian McWiggins,
yeah, mate,
name.
Mate, he should get off the McWiggins wine, I reckon.
Yeah, there's a few people suggesting.
He's making it himself.
Yeah, but still, mate, I'm just saying, like, mate, Nathan Brown, it's a hard job he has to do there. And, you know, I just think, mate, you got to stick with him. He's a good bloke and he'll get the best out of it.
Speaking of that finale, next Wednesday, Suncorp Stadium, it's going to be one of the great games of footy. And one of the great gentlemen who is in charge of the Maroon side is Kevin Walters. He joins us right here, right now. G'day, Kevy.
Good afternoon, gents. How are we going?
Very, very well, thank you. What's the vibe with you? All good already?
Really excited more than anything. I mean, to be part of a decider, albeit from a coaching point of view, it's pretty exciting. Knowing the venue on Wednesday night is going to be jam-packed full of hopefully mostly Queenslanders, but also, I guess, a few New South Wales supporters as well. It's going to be a terrific atmosphere and what we hope will be a terrific game and an even better result for Queensland.
Hey, Kev, I don't mean to be negative, mate, but do you remember in game one, about the 60-minute mark, and fans started walking out? Does that still stick in your mind a bit?
Yeah, I walked out with them. I was one of the ones leaving before walking out the gates, mate.
Too good for me.
Hey, Kevy,
we don't want that to happen, obviously. We didn't really get the best out of our crowd in game one, I didn't think, because we didn't sort of give them too much to cheer about. But hopefully it'll be a different case this time around. But you've got to earn that right as well. And, you know, we understand the big challenge that's in front of our guys. New South Wales on the rebound, always very dangerous. So, it's going to be, I think, one of the great origins of all time.
Hey, Kevy, on a serious note, how's young Cameron Munster fitted in? Obviously, he's going to start the game now in the famous number six jumper worn by Wally Lewis and also Darren Lockyer.
Yeah, look, he's really excited. Also, a little bit nervous. He had his first training session the other day, and you could tell that, he was a little bit nervous, but he settled down at our second session, and we're really excited for Cameron, what he's going to be, up against. Again, a big challenge for him, but we know his capabilities and he's comfortable with the stall and the spine that they have, with Billy Slater, Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith. So that's going to help him, I believe, throughout the game to do the best performance that he can.
And Michael Morgan has taken that decision on the chin?
Yeah, well, he's a team player, Michael Morgan, so obviously it would have been great for Michael to be playing in the halves, but for this game it's probably best suited for the team that Michael plays in the centre. He's hasn't played a lot of centre himself, but I think that he'll do a terrific job there. He needs to do a terrific job for us to contain Josh Dugan. That's a big job for him, and one that he needs to.
Yeah, what I did like, people were saying there might be a question mark on Tim Glasby. Mate, those first two sort of tackles, I mean, it happens in Origin, but he sort of got the rhythm of the game back into that game and he did some really good things, so he'll be better for that run.
Yeah, we hope so, Wendell. We hope to get a lot more out of our bench players than what we did in game two, particularly those new guys that come in. Jared Wallace only played for 20 minutes, so that was tough for him. We've got to get more football out of him, and also Tim, we think, can improve. And likewise, with Cohen Hess, he only had the two carries for the whole game. So we've got to get more out of those guys for us to be a chance on Wednesday night.
Kevy, there's been a little bit of talk out of the Blues. You touched on Michael Morgan a moment ago, that Will Chambers might actually switch from the right side to the left and Michael Morgan might play on the right. Is that a possibility, or have you guys trained like that at all? Or?
No, that's, well, unless something goes, injury or something in the game, we feel that Will did a terrific job on Jared Hayne, and Darius did a equally terrific job on Josh Dugan. So we're going to, Michael will be the left centre, and and Will Chambers will start for us on the right-hand side.
Kevin, can I just congratulate you for bringing the word hogwash into the equation? It's a long time since I've heard it, and I'm really enjoying its use.
Yeah, well, in Ipswich, we used to say bullshit, but
apparently... Hey, Kev, you did a really good job on Andrew Fifita in Game 2. Obviously, you know, he was pretty quiet, and he came out and said that he was obviously going to get better, and sometimes when you talk it up, you've got to back it up. In Game 3, he's going to be looking to step it up, but you guys know how to nullify him a little bit now.
Well, we know that he's going to do some damage, Del, that's for sure. He's too good a player. I mean, he was... not quiet in Game 2, but he wasn't as damaging. But that's always fearful. I know that he'll be looking to explode, you know, in the game. And yeah. New South Wales get a lot off the back of his go forward, and also Clemmer and Aaron Wood. So those three in particular really provide a really good platform for the halves to work off. So we're going to try and do our best with him again. We know he is going to cause some damage, but we've got to try and limit that damage, what he can do. He's great, you know, in contact as well with his offloads and his footwork in the line. He's a tough one to handle, but we've got to handle him as best we can to give ourselves every chance.
Kevy, has Cooper Cronk drawn you aside at any point and said, mate, it's my last one. It's the last time I'm playing. Yeah, don't tell the boys, but it's my last.
No, he's been very coy about his future. We don't even know if he's playing on next year. So there may be some announcement after the game or anything, but, you know, at this stage, we believe Cooper's going to be playing on next year and hopefully around the Origin level as well, because he's been such a great player for us. And with no Thurston there, particularly in this game, a lot of the responsibility of organising the team will fall on his shoulders, and I couldn't think of any better person in the game for that responsibility than Cooper Cronk.
Yeah, mate, we talked about what Jonathan Thurston did in Game 2 and obviously what Josh Maguire did, he outstanding game, and Dane Gagai, but I've got to say, Dylan Napa, his second stint, he was an absolute beast. He was just ripping and tearing.
Yeah, well, I think we actually worked out, Wendell, what sort of a player he can be at this level. I was looking at Dylan at half-time, and he was just, like, staring at me with an angry face on him. So I went over to him and I said, mate, what's wrong? He said, get me back on the field. I said, OK, mate, we'll get you back on there in 10 minutes. He said, good, do it as quick as you can. I said, all right, mate. No worries. He was just waiting to get back on there. And we needed someone, one of our forwards, to really stand up and get some quick play the balls and get some momentum. And even defensively, I thought he lifted the intensity of our line as well. So, yeah, hats off to Dylan for that. But now he's set the bar pretty high. He needs to maintain those standards, you know, from the start of the game, not just in the second period.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevy, a lot of focus out of the Blues camp has obviously been on their captain, Boyd Cordner, and also Tyson Frizzell, whether the two of them will play. Are you expecting both of them to be out there come the decider?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, I've watched those two players a lot, you know, over the past 18 months. They're tough as teak, those two. They're not going to miss an Origin match. You know, I know they've got some injuries. There's some injuries and niggles, but I couldn't see either of those two missing out on what should be a really classic Origin encounter. And he's their captain too, and led them so well in both games. Yeah. He'll be doing everything he can, I'd imagine, to get himself out there at Suncorp Stadium on Wednesday night.
Hey, Kev, have you had Jeff Horn come in to see the boys?
Yeah, he came in yesterday and had some lunch with us. Like, what a humble person he is as the world champion, walking into camp and mixing with the guys. He's very popular, obviously. And I was at the fight. He just made everyone, not only Queenslanders but Australians, feel really proud of his achievements. It was a back-against-the-wall result for him, and one that we're all very proud of, and he's just lapping it up now. I think he's off to America on Tuesday for the ESPN Awards or something. He's really excited about it. He won't be there for Origin, but he's on his way on his career path, which is very exciting for him.
That's amazing, those awards, because he was tossing up. He really wanted to be at Suncorp Stadium for State of Origin 3, but so he's decided he will go over there to hang out with Steph Curry and the like.
Yeah, well, I think it's a smart decision from him as well, career-wise, because all the big knobs in the boxing industry will be over there. Yep. They won't be at Suncorp. They'll be in over in America, so all good.
All right, Kevy, all the best for Wednesday evening. As ever, great to have a chat with you. Thanks so much, mate.
No worries. Thanks a lot, guys. And go the Maroons, eh?
Yeah, well done, Kevy. Yeah.
Hogwash. I do love the way he plays.
That's outstanding. He's great for the game, Kevin.
I should point out we will go inside the Blues camp after 1 o'clock. Assistant coach John Cartwright will join us as well, so we get the latest on the injuries and the plans from inside the Blues camp. Just a reminder, Paul Gallen will also join us from 1:30. We'll chat with Brad Haddin, all the latest that is going on in the Australian cricket with their pay dispute. That is absolutely ongoing. So much to get to. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We're doing it for Bryden's Lawyers.
Triple M rocks the NRL for Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future.